If you have your Bible this evening, if you'll be turning to the Gospel of Luke in the 23rd chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Good to see each of you here this evening. I recognize that Sunday evenings we are ready to start the work week, but it's such a good time to come together before we start the work week and study. I can't think of anything better than to think about those things which are set above and those things which are high and holy, and those things that which during the week we need to concentrate. And I enjoy Sunday evening services because it gives us another time to examine God's holy word. Last Lord's Day evening, if you remember, we began a series on the name Christ. And we're going to make an acrostic, and we're looking at each letter in that particular name. And we looked last week at the progression, and we first looked at the letter C, and we talked about the coming of Christ. And we identified the fact it is important to understand that the birth of Christ is of the utmost importance. We talked about His coming to earth. We talked about how His life changed history and what His purpose was. And that God did not just put in the Bible about the birth of Christ to fill up space, but that it is important we understand that He was born of the Virgin and that He came to fulfill the will of God. Now, this Lord's Day evening, we want to look at the second letter in our study. And after looking at His life that was sinless, this week we want to look at the hanging of Christ. And we want to examine the fact that they took the Son of God and hung Him upon a tree. And in your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 23rd chapter, if you will, look with me at verse 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. When you first read that, it may appear like there's not a lot there. But when you read every account of the gospel, and when you begin to read about crucifixion, one will come to an understanding that this would be an excruciating death. In John's gospel in the 19th chapter, you remember that they had scourged Jesus. And when they had scourged Jesus, they'd ripped His back to shreds. And if you had ever saw Jesus after they'd whipped Him, you would see nothing but a bloody mess. Ribbons of skin hanging from His back. Internal organs exposed. And so many times, if one could even go back and imagine that, it might even turn their stomach to know what they did to the back of the Son of the Living God. But then they took Jesus and they hung Him on that cross. They drove nails through His hands and through His feet. And I've often tried in my mind to imagine the pain that went through His body every time they drove a nail or spike through His hand or through His feet. Every time the hammer came down. But then I've often thought about how they put Him to an open shame and mocked Him. They stood back and watched Him die. And they gave Him the death of a criminal, though He never sinned. And I want you to think about that cross for just a moment. Now, I recognize many people wear a cross as jewelry, and I don't have a problem with that, but I do want us to recognize one thing. The cross is only beautiful because of what Jesus did on the cross. If you saw the cross in that day, there's nothing beautiful about it. There's nothing beautiful about an execution's chamber. There's nothing beautiful about an electric chair. And that's how they would have saw the cross. The cross was a means of execution. And so when you think about Jesus hanging on that cross, I want you to think about the fact He's hanging there for the sins of mankind. And the question I have is, have you ever stopped to see Him hanging there? The blood coming from the crown of thorns that had been impaled into His forehead. His chest heaving as He pulls Himself up just to catch a breath as He suffocates and is being tortured by His own body weight. Can you imagine what they did to the body of Jesus Christ? And can you imagine the lumber that was stained with blood, where His raw back that had been scourged slides up and down that rough lumber? And there He is struggling to breathe, and you see His gaze upon the people who delivered Him up.
I've often thought about if you and I were in that crowd that day, could you imagine looking into the face of Jesus? Could you imagine standing at the foot of the cross and looking up and seeing the blood drip from His beard, seeing all that He'd been through, and to look at those eyes looking out at people that He loved who yet had shown nothing but hatred in return? But that brings up another thought. Why was He hanging there? You may say, well, preacher, He was hanging there because the priests and the Pharisees were envious of Him. That would be right. But I want to tell you there's a greater reason He's there. I want us to understand He is dying as a substitute, as a propitiation for our sins, as a sacrifice. I hear some people today almost act like Jesus was not a sacrifice. But I want to tell you, my beloved friend, that when Jesus went up on Calvary's cross, He took your place. Because you and I deserve to die on the cross because we're sinners. We have violated the law of God. And God said, you sin, you die. Physical death, spiritual death. You and I deserve that kind of a punishment because we have violated a holy God's command. Jesus, who was sinless, did not deserve that kind of death. And He's hanging there, taking our place. If you have your Bible for just a moment, turn with me to the Galatian letter and the third chapter. And when you come to the Galatian letter and the third chapter, notice, if you will, most kindly, verse 13. In Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Do you recognize that you and I were cursed because of sin, and yet Jesus took the curse upon Him? He died so that we could have the curse not only of the law, but of sin removed. But then if you take your Bible for just a moment, notice in the Roman letter and the sixth chapter. In Romans chapter 6, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he had talked about walking in newness of life, he had talked about being buried with Christ in baptism, he's talked about that we're no longer slaves but sons, that we're slaves to Christ, not slaves to the evil one, because we've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. If you notice what he says in verse 23, in verse 23, he said, the wages of sin is death. Underscore wages. Underscore death. Wages is earned. That's what you deserve. That is what I and that is what you deserve for our sin, is to be taken and separated from God for all eternity. But notice the second part of that verse. If that was all that Paul had written, I would feel the most depressed man in the universe. But notice the second part. But the gift, underscore gift, that's something that's not deserved, but freely given. That's something that is given to somebody out of love and out of concern. Notice the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's given freely, not deserved. So when I read the Roman letter, I recognize I deserve a cross. I recognize because I've sinned. And the penalty of sin is death, but Jesus paid the price I couldn't pay. Because He did not have any sin, and He was able to pay a penalty He didn't know to save me from that which I did owe. But I want to bring up a third thought. When you think about the coming of Christ and you think about His sinless life and then you think about His hanging, can you imagine living the life in the shadow of a cross? Jesus had seen crosses on the hillsides around Jerusalem. Jesus had seen others crucified as He went from Galilee to Jerusalem. That was a common practice in the Roman days. You rebelled against Rome, you were hung on a cross. And Jesus lived His life knowing one day He's going to be sacrificed upon that cross, upon the altar of God. And when Jesus hung on that cross to redeem your soul, have you ever stopped to think about how much love that takes? You know why the cross should be the center of our lives? Because Christ was there on the center cross dying for us. Hanging there. Have you ever looked at the cross and thought about the fact that as Jesus died, it was so that our sins could be blotted out? Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 5th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the 5th chapter, notice, if you will, most kindly, that the Hebrew writer wants us to understand that He is the one who takes away sin. Look at what he says in verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men, this is according to the Old Testament, is appointed for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifice for sins. But what about Jesus? Now consider the priest of the Old Testament to Jesus. Jesus came, and what did he do? Died once for all. He is the high priest. And I want you to understand in verse 7 and verse 8, it says, though in verse 8, he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation, watch it, to all who obey him. I've had some people say, you don't have to obey him, you just believe him. Oh no, he's the author of salvation to those who obey him. Then he said, called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. I want us to understand that Jesus took our place, and through Jesus we have forgiveness once for all. Can you imagine tonight if we had to bring forth our lambs to sacrifice? And there stood the elders and me, and you had to bring it up and say, well, Mike, I did it again. I said this, and then you killed the lamb, and we had to prepare it. The Old Testament, they had to continuously do that. But we have a sacrifice in Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who can take away sin. But that raises the last thought of our study. Why did he take your place? Now, you may think, well, preacher, I'll tell you why. I'm so lovable. Well, I love you, and we love each other. But let's not kid ourselves. We're not always lovable, especially to a holy God. When you think about the things that we've done, and yet God still loves us. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the gift. That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you ever understood or comprehended the love of God? I'll tell you what, I don't think we ever can here. Not with finite minds. Not when you think about how much we've transgressed God's law. I think the closest you could come is if you're a parent and you've loved your child. That may become as close, because your child, we sometimes show a lot of grace. But to think about the grace God is willing to show. And don't ever think you're not loved, for there is one who loved you enough to die for you. In your Bible, in the Roman letter, in the 5th chapter, in verse 8, it said God demonstrated his own love. He showed his own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, we were still wrong, still violating his law, still rebellious. What did he do? Christ died for us. Now you know something. Look at what he said in verse 7. In verse 7 he says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. You might die for a good friend. You might die for someone that you really love and care for. Someone might take a bullet for the president because that's his job. Or someone might take a bullet for somebody they really care for. But notice what it said about Jesus. Christ died in verse 6 for the ungodly. In verse 8, Christ died for us while we were sinners. In verse 10, Christ died for us when we were enemies. That's what you were to God. And notice what an ugly day when Christ was brutally murdered on the cross. And yet what a beautiful day when grace was shed for mankind by the Creator Himself. Now the question is, when you see the progression of the coming of Christ and the hanging of Christ, the question is, will you accept the gift of God? Will you love Him in return? He showed you His love. What have you shown Him? I'll tell you what the cross does. The cross exposes the ugliness of sin. The cross shows to what length God would go to justify sin. And the crisis of it all is some people walk away from it. Or some people worship God in a way that is not in harmony with Scripture. What did He say? He's the author of those who what? Obey Him. Question. Do you see Him hanging on the cross? And have you obeyed Him? That is the most important question. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand.